I had the wrong chorus on that one, but you sung it right anyway. Amen. Bless your heart. Our scripture today is actually taken from Psalm 30, verses 4 and 5. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may endure for a night. Now say this with me. But joy comes in the morning. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We want to preach on the message today. Joy cometh. Joy cometh. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for this amazing opportunity that we have to worship you. And Lord, it is truly joy to the world. You didn't just have it for a certain group or a certain segment of people, but it's to all those that would come to you. Help us to preach the word today that joy is truly made available to every human being. And Father, I ask that you would bless me now and teach me that I might be able to teach thy people. We humbly ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. So where does joy come from? How do we get joy? And then once you get it, how do you know you have joy? Is it something that we can find or we can buy? How do you really receive joy as your strength? And what does it mean to have God's joy? Is this one? Okay. What does it mean to really have God's joy and God's peace in your life? I want to share with you something that I was able to find out and read about this individual by the name of George Thomas. He and some others joined together, and they held what was known as a conference on joy, a joy conference. Well, you know, we have a joy conference every Sunday, right? When we get together, when we worship God, there should be joy among God's people. And so the question that they were asking in this conference on joy is, how do you get joy? How do you know that you have joy? And more importantly, we as Christians ought to be asking, how do you share that joy? Now, this season of the year, everybody is talking about joy. You'll see smiles on their faces, but as soon as December the 26th comes, something's going to happen to that joy. It's going to disappear. It's going to evaporate, and then people will be back to normal. But that should not be the case with the believer in Christ. Amen? We have to know what joy is, and we have to know that joy comes into our life as a result of our faith and our believing in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So George Thomas and others, they held this conference, and they called it the theology of joy, or studying God and the study of God as you look for this joy. And I was able to relate that to the verse in Psalms 30 and verse 5. His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. How many of you have had weeping in a nighttime season? We've all had that and we all know about it. So how do you find this joy, and how do you relate to it? One of the things that they brought out in this conference is that there are a lot of people trying to sell happiness. They want to sell you happiness. You've got the drug dealers that they are filling orders to give to their addicts in order to give them a quick fix. You've got the legal drug dealers, the pharmaceutical companies, and they're bottling products that will promise you that you're going to feel better, you're going to look good, you're going to reduce weight, and you're going to calm your nerves, all because they have what they call joy. Hollywood wants to give it to us on a silver screen. Disney World says, come to our resorts and we'll give you happiness. All of this is an effort for people to sell joy. But I'm here to tell you that you cannot sell joy. Psalm 16 and verse 11 tells us that at God's right hand, in God's presence, there's fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You can try to buy happiness, but it's only temporary. It's a season that will come into your life. And so what happened in this conference, Thomas said he interviewed some of his friends, and one of his Hindu friends had this to say about joy. He said, you find joy through your five senses. Through your five senses. He said, you see beauty. You hear melodies. You taste sweetness. You touch softness. And you smell the aroma of fine perfume. That was joy to that Hindu friend of his. Well, the thought came to mind, what happens when these things seem to fade? Or when your senses fail? How do you then experience joy? Well, he moved on to look at one of his other friends. He asked a Muslim friend, he said, well, how do you describe joy and happiness? And his Muslim friend said this. He said, joy is available if we spend life everlasting in paradise. But the question is, how do you get to paradise? And then, if joy only comes when you get to paradise, how many of you have needed joy in your current situation? All of us need that joy. And so, that seems to be a goal, that seems to be something to reach after, and yet, if you look at it as when you get to paradise, you'll get it. Well, what happens now? Finally, one of his agnostic friends said, well, I know what happiness is, and I can describe it. He said, well, happiness for an hour is to take a nap. Happiness for a day is to go fishing or go golfing. Happiness for a year is to inherit a fortune. And happiness for a lifetime is to help someone else. That's how the agnostic described happiness and joy. And so you got to think about this. What if you take a nap and you have a bad dream? What if you go fishing and the fish are not biting? You will not have joy that day. What if you inherit a fortune and spend it in a week? That's not joy. That's not happiness. And I know many of us can testify that we have helped others and you felt worse because they didn't appreciate it. Do I have any witnesses? So you see that if we are searching for joy, joy through man's attempt is futile. It's something that it's not going to really satisfy. And what the psalmist did in these verses on Psalm 30, what he wanted to do is to show you, how do you search for joy? What are the things that you turn down? What are the things that you say, no, that's not going to give me joy? One of the things that gives joy to people in this life is that they try to dominate others. And the psalmist describes it in this psalm. He says, God did not deliver me over to the will of my enemies. And he uses the word that they would rejoice over the righteous. That they would have joy over the righteous. For those of you that are struggling today, God's not going to give you over into the hand of the enemy to destroy the righteous. And so their rejoicing, their happiness is for a season, but because it does look like the enemy is winning, right? It does look like evil people are going about and they're dominating, but it's only for a time. While we weep, they laugh. But there will come a day, as soon as the morning comes, that we will laugh. Weeping may endure for a night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. So let's dismiss this issue. Let's dismiss this thing that man somehow is going to bring about happiness. Well, the second thing that we find is that joy is through God's deliverance. When God comes into your life, he comes to deliver you. Every time God shows up, he either wants to deliver you from sin. And by the way, I looked at this thing. I thought about it. You can spend your lifetime doing what you want, but you can't choose the consequences. And why does God want to deliver us from sin? Sin destroys you. God gives you life. Sin breaks you down. You're wasting your energy, your time, and your resources serving sin. And I can tell you, you talk about being dominated by something. Sin doesn't want to just come in and have a corner. It wants to have complete control over your life. Drug addicts, once they get addicted to it, they cannot give it up because something has control over their life. But the moment you start saying, Lord, I need you, joy is on its way. Joy is moving in your direction. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. How does the psalmist describe that joy? He says that we are to express that joy to the Lord. He said, oh Lord, I cried out to you. I cried out to you and you healed me. Oh Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down into the pit. There are a lot of people are dealing with pits these days. You know, we use the pit on the farm for certain things. We would cure in our curing of tobacco, we would use a pit. But it's not a place you want to live. And there are a lot of people living in a pit, or they're having their pity parties, or they're hanging out with pitiful friends. I don't know about you, but I don't like the pit. I like being on the mountaintop. How about you? I like being in a place where I can be in the presence of God, where there's fullness of his joy. And so what God does in this process, he delivers you. Remember Joseph in the Bible? God delivered him out of a pit. The psalmist cried out, Lord, you've delivered me from a horrible pit. You brought me out. Some of you have been in circumstances in your life where God had to bring you out of that. That was his deliverance. And once you got out of you were happy. You said, God, thank you for what you've done. God delivers us, and that brings joy into our lives. And then the psalmist moves on in the psalm. He progresses and he starts saying to us that our response to God when we discover that he's been good, when we discover God's goodness, is to give him glory because we have found his favor. How is it that you can do something for someone and they don't say thank you? And many of us, we were taught what they call this thing, manners. Nowadays, you help people and they'll grunt. When I go to the restaurant, I say thank you to the person that fills my order because they didn't have to do it, right. They're responsible for your food, right? And so you want them to handle it properly. Well, how is it that when God does something for us, we don't stop to say thank you? By the way, you're here this morning not just to sit in a pew. You're here for one reason, not just to listen to a sermon. You're here to say thank you. You're here to recognize that God has given you something, that he has shown you his favor. Everything may not be perfect in your life, but I tell you what, without God, it could be a whole lot worse. I'd rather be weeping with God in the night and waiting for the morning than to go through the night without God, without his help, without his strength. Joy is our response. It's what we give back to God because he's given us something. The writer in 1 John tells us that we love God because he first loved us. We don't love him first. He showed his love. God has lavished his love on us, has given us his love, and we respond to that love of God. So I know you're asking, preacher, where does joy come from? You talk about joy coming in the morning. Where is it going to come from? It's going to come from God. It's going to come from God. And I'll show you how it's going to come from God. It's our response to his goodness and his mercy. It's when we start saying to God, Lord, you are the one that we love. You are the one that we recognize. But you got to pay attention. There are a lot of people that joy shows up in the morning, but they don't show up. Why? Because they're looking at everything that went wrong in the night. Well, turn around and face the light. Turn around and face the goodness. Turn around and face the hope that God has given you. Don't stop looking at the darkness if morning is here. If it's yesterday, guess what? It's in the past. And now you are to enjoy this day. And notice I said enjoy. That's actually two words, to enter into joy. When you are in the presence of God, you're entering into his joy, his favor, and his goodness. And so you've got to respond to him. You've got to respond to him. Back in the day, or in what I call the old church, we used to have this thing called getting happy. You know what it meant, amen? somebody would get up and they'd start shouting. My grandma had a two-step. And every Sunday when the right song was played or the preacher got into the message and everything was going, my grandma would just, she'd get up and do that little two-step. And every Sunday you could count on grandma to do that two-step. That's because she got happy. God wants his people to be happy. To rejoice is one of the meanings of the Hebrew word is to get happy. Why wouldn't you get happy when God shows up? Why wouldn't you have this exuberation and this great joy if God shows up? There's a story told in the Gospel of Luke about this man that experienced joy. And his joy didn't just come from good things happening. He watched his youngest son leave home. And he left with his inheritance, everything he had. He left home and he wasted it. Father didn't know whether he was dead or alive, but every morning he'd go out to that path and he'd look for him. He'd look for him. Finally, one day, that little boy or that young man by this time came down the path, scraggly, lost weight, looking all like he had been run over by a tractor trailer. Well, they didn't have tractor trailers in that day, but my imagination. By a bunch of camels. Had been eaten out of the where the hogs eat. Looked terrible. But when the father saw him, he had joy. He rejoiced. He told his servant, go kill that fatted calf. Get a robe to put on him. Now, he could have said, why, you scraggly thing, you. I don't appreciate you coming back. He was overjoyed. Why was he overjoyed? He said, this my son was dead. But now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. Every time you and I introduce someone to Jesus Christ, you know what we're doing? We're bringing that lost person into the presence of God. And you know what they're going to find? They're going to find joy. That man said, let's have a party. Let's have a party. And ladies and gentlemen, every time we come to church, we have a different kind of party. We don't pull out the drinks and we don't pull out the scotch and soda. We don't pull out the vodka, but we pull out our Bibles, our hymn books, and they get on the piano, they get on the drum, and we have a party because guess what? Joy just showed up. Your joy just showed up when you love Jesus and you're aware of his presence, how he brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we get happy. We get happy. We show our rejoicing, but we also show gratitude to God. We express that gratitude unto the Lord because he is a good God. Now, you can show gratitude in a number of ways. You can show gratitude by saying thank you, but you can also show gratitude by obeying what you've been told. Another group of people were outside of this little one town. And of all the places where God could have announced the arrival of his son, God could have gone to the emperor of Rome and said, there's somebody that's coming you need to know about. God even bypassed the governor of Judea. He didn't even go to the mayor of Bethlehem. He didn't go to the priest. He went to a group of shepherds out in the field and began to say to them, this day is born unto you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And he said, behold, I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy. Now, I don't know about you. That was a good message then, and it's a good message now. But somehow or another, we've lost our rejoicing because guess what? It's not that the message has changed. It's the same yesterday. Our gratitude, we don't recognize it. We are not aware of what this means. And what it meant to the world, it still means the same thing today. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Y'all might have quiet. Good morning. All right, there we go, there we go. Amen. And so it is that this joy that came to them, they respond to it. They didn't stay on the hillside and say, okay, we're going to build a church up here and we're going to call it the First Church of the Shepherds. No, they went to Bethlehem And they went to the manger, and they saw the child wrapped in swaddling clothes or rags and lying in a manger. That's where they saw joy. Guess what happened? 42 generations, joy had been wrapped up. But each generation passed, and joy got a little bit closer. Got a little bit closer until finally the angels announced, he's here. Go and see. You say, well, preacher, how do I go see today? And when that was in Bethlehem back in that time, you don't experience it the same way of taking a journey. You exercise this thing called faith. You believe that this is the one. It's not Buddha. It's not Muhammad. It's Jesus. Because in him was that fullness of joy. You talk about being at God's right hand. Well, guess where he was when he sat down in glory after he had come down here, died for our sins, went back to glory. He sat down at the right hand of God. So if you're looking for joy, go to Disney World if you want to see amusement. Go to Hollywood if you want to see a movie. But go to Jesus if you want to see joy. He is our joy in the morning, amen? And then lastly, when we look at joy, we have to be content. We show our contentment. The greatest example that I can think of when we refer to contentment is the Apostle Paul. This man went through so much. He and a friend of his named Barnabas, they went out on a missionary journey to share God's word with the world. And they got beat up. They got ran out of town. But they'd go to the next town with what? Joy. Because they had learned to be content. And one night, he and his friend Silas were in a place called Philippi. All because they had preached God's word and were faithful to God. And at Philippi, they ended up being beat up and thrown in jail. And you would think that they would sit around and complain about, you know, this is just the most horrible thing that could happen to me. Here I am, I'm trying to do what's right, and now I'm in a jail cell, and I'm beat up, and my wounds are not being treated. I'm going to call the NAACP. I'm going to call the ACLU. They did none of that. At midnight, they prayed. They sang songs. Why? Because they had joy. Some of you are facing a midnight right now. Well, I know it's 9:35 in the morning, in case you're watching your clock and how long I preach. It's 9:35 in the morning, and it's no longer, for some of you, it's midnight. It's dark. You don't know what's going to happen next. But can I tell you, you don't have to change a thing. Stay right where you are. Because the Bible says weeping may endure for a night. The same way that you can't bring the morning, you can't change your situation. It said, joy cometh. Joy cometh. Which means the more you focus on God, the more he's going to come your way. First of all, you got to acknowledge him. You got to say, it's not my problem, it's God. It's not my issue, it's being aware that God is real. I remember Miss Constance Lovelace used to sing down at the Mount Airy Missionary Baptist Church, yes, God is real. He's real where? In my soul. God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. Let me tell you something. If you want joy, quit trying to look at the store. You ain't going to find it at Tiffany's. We don't have one around here, and you couldn't afford it if it was. But you're not going to find it in the things of this world. Where you will find it is in the presence of the living God. Some people are trying to say, I'm going to go on a trip, and I'm going to find joy. You ain't going to find it on a cruise. You're not going to find it in Paris in the summer or the spring. But where you will find it is in the presence of the living God. As a matter of fact, you don't have to go anywhere. Stay right where you are and call on his name, and joy will come to you. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Get happy. Get happy. Well, I ain't got nothing to get happy about. Get happy over the presence of God. Don't wait till he changes things. Get happy right now. And watch the presence of God change your attitude, change your mind, and change your life. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the joy that we have. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. And if the world didn't give it, it can't take it away. Thank you that in your presence, And that's where we are right now, in the presence of God. Lord, there are things in our life that we recognize that, Lord, need to change. And only you can do that. So come into our lives. Change what we don't need. Change the things about us that, Lord, you can't use. And let us experience your joy. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the people said, amen. Stand on your feet if you got joy. Amen. I want to give the invitation. We do that every Sunday. But it's not that we're repeating ourselves. We're giving people an opportunity because you're journeying through this life. And I can tell you right now that you will need God's joy. It's only in his gift that we can find that gift of joy. So if there's one today, if you've never responded to Christ, if you've never said yes to him, today's your day, and this is your time to surrender. Is there one? The invitation is given.